Hey guys, my name is Travis. I'm the student pastor here. And over the past couple of weeks with launch, we've been hearing a lot of different passages kind of about what the Bible has to say about our kids. And we thought this morning would be really cool for you guys to be able to hear it in their own words. So this year's Claire. She's one of our sixth grade students from Storm. Claire, what are you reading for us this morning?
I'm reading Matthew 19, verses 13 through 14. Then the little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as thee."
Thanks, Claire. This is Morgan. She's one of our ninth grade students.
I'm going to be reading Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commandments which I am giving to you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them on your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates."
And Aiden here is one of our 8th grade guys from Chaos.
I'm going to be reading Matthew 18, 1 through 6. "About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Jesus called the little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, 'I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this is on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and drowned in the depths of the sea."
Thanks, guys. If you guys can't tell, Reality Church cares a lot about students. I think part of it has to do with we have an amazing pastoral staff here who Lance, Robert, Roger were all in student ministry at one point. And so we have just like a huge heart here for this next generation. And that's really what, you know, that this whole series has been about. If you're a guest with us today, you're probably wondering why we have a rocket ship and it says, looks like lunch. Launch. We're talking about this next generation who it is our responsibility to launch them into their faith. We know, a lot of us older folks know, that the world's a lot different than what it was like when we were kids, and sometimes it can feel extremely overwhelming, like where we're taking steps backwards, and like we have no hope. But honestly, if you've been around this church for a while, if you've heard the stories we've shared over the past few weeks, you can see the Holy Spirit moving in the lives of these kids at this church. You can see families who are just being rocked by their faith. It's incredible. I mean, as the student pastor here, I get to see this firsthand. I get to hear a lot of these stories, and we're going to be sharing a couple of those with you here in just a minute. But one passage I want to share with you guys this morning is from Psalm 78, and it really kind of frames up. I mean, listen here to what the writer says our responsibility is, because it's more than just the students you saw up here this morning. It's more than just this current generation. It's from Psalm 78, starting in verse 2. It says, "I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We'll tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And in turn, they will teach their own children, so each generation can set its hope anew on God, not forgetting about his glorious miracles and obeying his commands." The writer here of Psalms is telling us it is more than this, just this generation. It's the children's children's children who haven't even been conceived, haven't been born. I mean, they're still, you know, hundreds of years away from being born, and we are responsible for their faith. Take a moment to let that sink in. That feels like a huge, huge responsibility, because it truly is. And through this launch series, over the past few weeks, I've just had this thing mulling in me that how seriously, church, this body of believers, do we really take this heavenly mandate of sorts that we are so responsible for this? It is a huge, huge task that's put on us with these kids. The truth is, as followers of Christ, as Christians, we believe that heaven and hell are real and that eternity is forever. That every person you ever eye to eye to, every person you pass at the airport, every child you saw up here on the stage this morning has an eternal destiny. If we really got that, if we really believed that, I think it would just change the way we do ministry. It would change the way that we reach out to our neighbors and our community. I know there's so many people in this church who have gotten that, and we can see it through their lives and their families and the stories we hear. But the truth is, I don't know if we really take it seriously. I know myself sometimes, I don't know if I keep that perspective, if I take a step back and look at the big picture. You know, one thing in church we don't talk about a whole lot, there's going to be some discussion in your life groups this week, is about spiritual warfare. It's something we talk about, maybe we're reading about putting on the armor of God, but the truth is that every one of us, every single moment, every single day is in the middle of a conflict, a cosmic conflict that has waged against mankind since the beginning of time. It's kind of serious. It's kind of big and scary when we really think about it. I know for me, like I live a safe life. I live in Papillion, Nebraska. You know, war to me is something on the other side of the world that's far away, it's detached. I have such physical safety here, but I wonder how often do I really take my spiritual safety into consideration? How many little small compromises am I making in my faith, in my soul, in my walk with Christ? We believe that we have an enemy in this. The devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him. The Bible tells us once he was the most glorious of angels. He lived in heaven and was thrown out. And as followers of Christ, as Christians, we're entitled to the very home that he was thrown out of, a place that he can never go to again. You better believe he's going to do everything in his power to make you an ineffective Christian. He's going to do everything in his power to rip your family apart. Your kids, they're not off limits. There's nothing in the Bible that tells us that would lead us to believe that a three-year-old or four-year-old is off limits to these forces of evil. It's kind of scary when I put it in the perspective, I have a two-year-old and a four-year-old, and I wonder about what choices are they going to make in their life. I think about, are they going to follow Christ? Because I can't make that decision for them just because I'm a Christian. If you doubt this at all, that there is a war going on around us, just look at the debris we see in our communities, in our world, in our life, just something inside of us that says that this isn't right. And we've talked about all the noise that is thrown at our kids, all the distractions, all the things that are promised to give them fulfillment. A lot of us has fallen for it. And how hard it is sometimes to make them truly see the reality that is Jesus Christ. Our only true hope in this world that is so filled with counterfeits, so filled with things that want to distract our kids. Jesus described it as our enemy is a thief who comes to steal and to kill and destroy. That's not just you, but your kids as well, your neighbors, your families. I know that's kind of heavy stuff to drop on you right here, but I really want you guys to think about that as we're getting ready to you know, launch this next generation. We're getting ready to build out this new space, which miracle after miracle, if you guys know the whole story, us being able to lease this building was a miracle, literally. The fact that we were able to make the down payment for this building, it was a miracle, literally. Lance has told the story. Go back and watch some of the past sermons. It is obvious that God's hand is on this. Time and time again, we've come up against these things, and God does something that's beyond us. Don't forget about those miracles, just like the writer of Psalms was writing there. We're not too different from these people that were written about long ago. The building, though, Christ didn't come and give his life for a building or a program, brick and mortar. He came to give his life for souls. And this building here, guys, as you know, we're really limited in space here. And this is about more than just a building. It's about the lives of families, of children, of people who have an eternal destiny. So think about that. I know some of us, not all of us, can give financially, but it's going to take real money for us to build that out. But a lot of us in here have talents. As you can see, we have, like, you know, you guys saw Krista up here this morning leading in worship. Usually she'll be playing the piano here, and then she runs over back there to lead in worship. There's people, you know, who support kids by just driving them up to youth group. There's so many ways that you guys can support kids in your neighborhood and your families. Think about that, that every one of those souls you interact with, kids and adults alike, have an eternal destiny somewhere. Now, I could go on and on about this. It's just been something that's just been in me lately. But one of the things I know that moves us the most are stories. So we hear stories about people who have been in it, who have felt that real life change. So this morning we got a couple stories we want to share with you. If you guys could welcome with me Kelsey Wallman.
Good morning, reality. My name is Kelsey Wallman, like Travis said. I am married to Adam Wallman, and we have two kids, Carson and Chloe. Carson is 4, and Chloe will be 2 in a few weeks. I wanted to share why Reality Kids has been so important for me and my family. About a year and a half ago, my husband and I decided to make a change in our lives and start consistently attending church. My husband, Adam, grew up in the church, but I did not, so we were not exactly sure what our expectations were. We just wanted to go and check a few out. The stubborn side of us said, we want to try and find our own church. Since Adam's wonderful mother, Beth, works here at Reality, we wanted to go try some different ones. We found one that our friends went to, and we absolutely fell in love with it. We began to get more involved and even started helping with their plans to plant a new church. However, something was missing. Every single time we brought Carson to the childcare there was some sort of disconnect. It seemed that each week there was a totally different person there, and they never remembered Carson's name, so we felt new each week we attended. One week, they even turned us away at check-in because they were just simply too full. We attended this particular church for about a month or two, but something just kept drawing us back to reality. And it wasn't just Beth or Gary. In August of last year, we threw our stubbornness out the window and listened to what God was stirring in our hearts and started consistently attending Reality Church. From the time we brought Carson, from the first time we brought him and Chloe to Reality Kids, it just simply felt right. The volunteers acted as if they had known us for years, and we instantly felt like we were a part of the family. That next week we attended, they greeted us with, "Hey Carson, come on in and play with us," and, "Chloe, we've missed you. Tell us about your week." And for the parent, that was the coolest. There is just something about being able to thoroughly enjoy the service instead of having to be worried about how your children are doing during that hour. Reality Kids gave Adam and I that sense of peace so that we can comfortably worship God together. Not only was it awesome for us, but my kids have been forever impacted because of what they learn and the relationships that they have developed. To us, there's nothing cooler than hearing your 4-year-old sing you songs about God and tell you why, exactly why, he loves Jesus. Sorry. He is even able to kind of recite the Bible story later that Sunday evening. And that's why we are so thankful that God continues to use Reality Kids to impact the lives of our entire family. Thank you.
You know, it's not just us. A lot of times people will say thank you to me because, you know, they see me up front and stuff. But there's like a whole army of volunteers and teachers and people loving kids all over this church. And the next story we're going to share with you guys today is one from Kelly Barnes. I'll just let her tell you her story. So, Kelly Barnes, welcome her up.
My husband, Bill, and I, we have 4 kids, 14, 10, 4, and 2, and so we are all over Reality Kids, all over the place, and we started coming to Reality about 3 years ago. Our oldest had been invited by a friend to Chaos on Wednesday nights, and Emma really connected here, and so she kept telling us that we needed to go to church here, and I grew up in a super great youth program at our family church. And I had adults in my life that made a big difference, and I wanted that for my kids. So we started coming to Reality, and then Emma began inviting friends, and before long, they no longer fit in my van, and we needed 2 vans to take all the kids on Wednesday nights, and it was amazing. And it was so great for the kids to see when they get that feeling that everyone's doing it, that it's really just a myth, that there are lots of Christ-centered kids out there that are living their lives to honor him. Emma's leader, Trisha, is totally amazing. She is a great role model and friends to all of her girls. She has shown up to Emma's volleyball games and cross-country meets, and she really wants to be a part of their lives and show them that she truly cares. I began to feel like maybe my vanload of children was not enough, that God was calling me to do more. And my daughter Emma had started volunteering on Monday nights, and she came home saying, "We really need more women to lead the girls on Monday nights." And it's funny when God speaks to you through your teenager, but it happens to me all the time. And I talked to Travis and started volunteering on Monday nights. And I hope that someday a few of these kids will look back and know that I made a difference in their lives, just like I look back and know that about my youth group volunteers. And I also know these kids are totally making a difference in my life. My family says I'm no fun. And last Monday, I dug gummy worms out of chocolate pudding with my face. So I maybe am becoming more fun. I also absolutely love that my fourth grader, who goes to the warehouse and loves it, is jealous of his friends that get to come on Monday nights. He can't wait to be in fifth grade and get to go. So that's super exciting. And our littlest ones, when we tell them it's church day, they can't wait to get dressed and come to church to play with their friends. It's amazing. And we also get asked on a regular basis if it's life group day, because our kids love our life group, and I also love our life group. So I just want to encourage you to pray about what you can do for the youth of Reality, babies through the high schoolers. Load up your van with as many kids that will fit and drive them to events. Donate snacks because those children can eat, and volunteer your time. If you aren't sure about the future of our community, spend some time with these kids. They really look outside themselves to help others, and they are truly sharing their faith by the way they live their lives. And if you have kids, tell your leaders and volunteers thank you. All of our kids can never have too many positive people in their lives.
Like Kelly said, it's hard to ignore when God is giving you those promptings. I remember, seriously, we were looking for some new female leaders with Storm, and Kelly came to my mind. I knew Emma, and I kind of knew Kelly a little bit, and seriously, the day I was about to call her, I remember I was in the parking lot of Toys R Us, and I got a text from Kelly asking me about Storm. The same day I was thinking of calling her, it was just one of those kind of mind-blown moments. And even, you know, another thing I just got to brag about Kelly's story here, I really feel like it's the what the writer's talking about in Psalms 46 there, that Kelly had people who poured into her as a kid, and she's pouring into her kids. And I remember Emma, her daughter, when I first met with her about why does she want to serve in student ministry, Emma says, because of what Trisha did for me, I want to be able to do for somebody else. It's this legacy effect. There's nothing else like it in the world. There's so many distractions and noises out there that we really can't compete with. But the thing that the world has nothing, can't compete with us is that relationship that we have with each other, that truth that we find in Christ.
What a great Sunday to be here at Reality Church. Let's hear it for the children's ministry workers, volunteers, and student ministry workers and volunteers. Couldn't be prouder of them. So I know you're super excited about what's coming up. You know, it was said so well, God doesn't really care about buildings, but he sure does care about us making an impact on the next generation and how we do that and how we launch them into a culture that needs to know Jesus, that he loves them, that he can forgive them, that he has a place for them. And so I know you've been praying all month like I have. Amy and I tonight are going to walk over there to that rocket. Maybe you noticed the rocket on your way in. There is a little door on that rocket, like a mail slot. You just put your commitment card in there. So if you haven't filled out your commitment card, if you've been praying all month and you're kind of still waiting, then come back tonight. Robert suggested we just lock the doors and say no one's leaving without putting it in there. But I said, okay. But no. So if you forgot your card, hey, guess what? We thought about that, and there are some cards in the lobby and pens and pencils and things to fill that out if you've been praying about it and if you've reached a decision as a family. We said a few things during this sermon series, and I want to kind of remind us of them. Number one, we said, look, the world, our world is not the world. That there's a bigger world that God wants us to make a difference in. That's why we're reaching out to Bethlehem House. That's why we're reaching out to Orphan Care in Jamaica. The next week we said that no one is exempt from launching the next generation. Do you know why we said that? Because no one is exempt from the consequences of a generation that walks away from God. So none of us are exempt from the responsibility of launching that next generation. The last thing we said, and I hope we all kind of dig into this one, if we don't take the risk, we're going to miss the opportunity. We have an opportunity to launch. Can you hear them? I can hear them. They're growing up. They're growing up. They don't stay the same age. They're gonna walk out there into the world, a world that's sometimes hostile and sometimes is going to, you know, it's going to give them a sucker punch. And we want to be here having given them a foundation, a launching pad, and a place where they can go, where they can feel safe and loved and accepted. That's what we want that place to be. If you want to invest in that, and I hope you do, then give sacrificially. I hope that when you fill out this card, it's sacrificial. It's a stretch. It's something that that God's going to have to help you keep. Amy and I are going to place that card tonight. If you want to, literally your card is going to be going into the new building. As you place it into that rocket. So let's pray about that. Thank you so much for engaging today. Let's pray together, and then you guys are dismissed.